Not that I was incapable of something as simple as getting myself out of zip ties. I have seen 7-year-olds get out of zip ties using their shoelaces, so let's not pretend.
I think about this for a moment. He's kinda right about the zip ties thing. I mean, you gotta have time and be in the right position, but they're pretty simple to get out of if you have those two things.
Let me out, or I'll...
I almost laugh, because he doesn't even have a threat ready.
I won't fulfill your fantasy,
he finishes.
My guffaw is loud enough to startle him.
As if, I yell. I'd never let you that close to me again.
You will, Ms. Gray.
He kinda snarls that part.
Because whatever is happening to you right now has nothing to do with some stupid sex game you're playing with your lawyer.
I'm not playing with him. He's just the...
Grr. He's just the what? Facilitator?
I can't talk to you about it. I already explained that.
Untie me, and I'll make sure you can talk about it. You do realize that an NDA is invalid if it involves a crime, right?
That's not even true. Lots of people sign NDAs for, like, settlements, and it usually involves a crime.
Those are usually civil actions, not criminal. Look, you're fucked if you don't get someone on your side real quick, because this shit is happening. Someone called you in tonight. Someone set you up. Someone is out to get you. And if you want to add me to your enemies list, then great, do that. But when you're sitting in jail wondering where it all went wrong, I'll come visit and remind you.
I let out another long breath of air.
Untie me.
And decide that he's right. Fine, I say, walking into the kitchen to grab a knife from the silverware drawer, and then walk back over to him and bend down. But if you make any sudden moves...
Yeah, fucking yeah. You'll take me out. Got it.
Asshole.
Jesus Christ, are you trying to saw my fucking wrists off or what?
It's a dull knife, okay? Just hold still.
Ow!
I never knew the FBI hired such wussies. But then the plastic snaps, and I back away, because I'm pretty sure he's lying about not trying anything. They all lie. That's the nature of people. He's quick, too, up on his feet, reeling around to glare at me in seconds. But I'm all the way across the room. He smiles. It's one of those you fucking bitch smiles. I recognize it. Seen it plenty of times in the past. But then he takes a deep breath, looks down at his wrists, holds them up as Exhibit A, and says,
Just FYI, next time you zip tie someone, don't cut off their circulation.
I sneer at him.
Now,
he says, still glaring but walking towards the door.
Let's go.
Go where? I'm not leaving until you explain just why the hell you decided to play along with my game when you knew you weren't part of it. But he's already punched in the key code and has the door open.
We're going back to your place so I can regroup with my boss and you can get some sleep. You want to make that seminar tomorrow? Then let's go.
Is he serious? Does he really think I'll buy that?
Okay,
he says.
Bye.
And then he walks out the door and slams it closed behind him. It's only then that I realize it locks automatically, because it beeps, just the way it did when we came in. And now I'm trapped. You motherfucker! I yell.
Chapter 12. Finn. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't enjoying myself. Izzy is pounding on the door, screaming every obscenity she can think of. Every threat, too. But I just lean back on the hood of the car and smile. Teach her to zip-tie me. Teach her to kick my ass. Not that she kicked my ass. She didn't. She just caught me off guard, that's all. I look at my watch and start timing her. Stop screaming and calm down, I yell. The hell I will! Stop screaming for 5 minutes, and I'll let you out. But I'm not letting you out until you calm down. And it's a scientific fact that it takes 5 minutes to calm down. She says something back to that, but I don't catch it. And then she stops. I wait, clocking her. We're at a little over 4 minutes, and I'm feeling pretty proud of myself when the fire alarm goes off inside. I bet that's coded to the fire department, isn't it? She yells on the other side of the door. I close my eyes, pinching the bridge of my nose, then walk over to the door, punch in the code, and cancel the alarm. But that unlocks the door, and she's got it open before I realize what just happened. We stand there, not eye to eye because she's tiny and I'm tall, but close enough, glaring at each other, daring each other, planning 7 different ways to kill each other. After almost a minute of silent, mutual hate, she sucks air in through her teeth and says, "Now you may take me home. I should leave your ass here on principle. I should zip-tie you back up." She waves a fistful of zip-ties at me. "Go ahead and try. You only get the element of surprise once. I love to be underestimated." More mutual hatred. And then I say, "Fuck it. Get in the car." I turn my back on her and decide I'm done. If she gets in, I'll drop her ass off at her house and go find Declan. If she wants to stay out here in the goddamned forest, fine by me. We get in at the same time, slam our doors at the same time. I start the car, and she pushes herself up against her door like she doesn't want to turn her back on me, not even a little bit. I back up, spinning the tires in the dirt, and head back out the way we came. "Well, that was fucking stupid." "Which part? The part where you turn into a batshit crazy person?" "No, the part where I waste my night with a stupid FBI agent." "Well," I say, reaching the end of the driveway and turning onto the highway, "I did fuck you pretty good." "Shut up. Admit it. It was the best part of your night." "Shut up. I mean, you came hard, right?" "What the fuck is wrong with you? Didn't your mother teach you manners?" I laugh. "Is there a protocol for this I'm missing?" "Yes, it's called shut the fuck up." "Oh, I get it. I'm supposed to pretend it never happened." "You don't need to pretend," she says. "It was, what do they call it? Oh, I know, entrapment." I roll my eyes. "Jesus, for a smart person, you sure don't know very much about the legalities of things. Like your dumb NDA. If he really did set all this up and used the FBI to play this stupid sex game with you..." "I'm not playing with him. I told you that." "Then you have every right to report him. He can't touch you. Really, I'm not lying. This is my job." She turns her head away and stares out into the passing night. "And if you weren't playing with him, then who?" "I thought it was you, dumbass." "How do you not know who is supposed to be fucking you, Izzy? How does that even make sense?" "It just does." "You'll have to trust me." "Well, I don't trust you. Not after you went insane back there." She breathes out through her nose. Silence. "Just fucking tell me what's going on. I can help you. Will help you. And he won't touch you, I promise." "It's not him I'm worried about, okay? He's a stand-up guy. He's not gonna..." But my laugh is so loud, she stops mid-sentence. "Stand-up guy? Are you kidding me? He runs a sex fantasy fulfillment business, okay? It's all legal." "Oh, I'm sure it is." "It is. He's a lawyer, for fuck's sake. A very fucking successful one. He wouldn't cross any lines." "Nope," I say. "He didn't cross any lines at all tonight." "You don't know it's him, okay?"
"You seem to think it's him."
"That's because none of it made sense. You thought you were going to be taken to a sex club to be fucked in front of... Just never mind that part, okay? My friend set this up for me as a Valentine's Day gift. To make me do something outside of work, so I went over to the tea shop to talk about it. Jordan was there, and I told him what I wanted, and then he closed my file and said... She sighs loudly. Said what? Silence. God damn it, Izzy, what did he say? He said no, okay? He said no. I wasn't right for his game, and he closed my file and walked out. There, are you happy now? I want to laugh, but it doesn't seem appropriate. So I hold it in and try to be professional. So if he said no, then why did you think you were supposed to let me fuck you tonight? Jesus, could you be any more vulgar? Answer the question. God, I'm gonna get it all out of you eventually. Why do you insist on making this so difficult? I thought it was part of the game, okay? Like, he's supposed to be this master sex game planner. So I figured none of this FBI stuff made much sense, so it must be the game. That's all it was. A stupid misunderstanding. I assumed something, I was wrong. Now let's drop it. Master sex game planner. I really need to meet this guy. Why? She laughs. You gonna buy a game from him? Me? No. I don't need a game to get fucked. I'm sure you don't, Playboy. I think through her comments for a while. She stays silent. Just leaning her head up against the window, looking outside like she's wishing she could be anywhere but here. I want to tell her things. Things like, well, I had fun. Hope you did too. Or, maybe we can do it again tomorrow? And this time I can zip tie you up, wink wink, if you know what I mean? But I don't. Because she said none of the FBI stuff made much sense. Not any sense, I say. What? She says, dragging her gaze from the window. You said none of this FBI stuff made much sense. Not any sense. Which means it made a little sense. You're really reaching now. Am I? You are. I'm not. But I drop it, because I knew she was hiding something back at the office. I knew, felt it in my bones. And now, I'm going to make it my mission to figure out what it is.
Chapter 13. Izzy. The problem with this night is some of it was fun. I mean, I'm pretty disappointed that this isn't a game. Unless he's lying, but I really don't think he's lying. He can't be that good an actor. And we really were down at the federal building, and I really was locked in an interrogation room, and he and his partner really did question me. So what the fuck is going on? And more importantly, why the fuck is this happening to me? I mean, I was just minding my own business, doing my thing, and then, wham, bullshit everywhere I turn. It's bad enough that Chella talked Jordan into a game for me. I mean, that's a little bit humiliating all by itself, but then to be turned down? I didn't ask for any of this, I say, looking out the window as the world whips by. We're on I-70 now, heading back towards Denver, and I can just see the glow of city lights peeking over the top of the mountains. There's no traffic, so we should be back in downtown in, like, 20 minutes.
Okay,
he says, but it's one of those okays that really means you're full of shit. I didn't.
Fine, I'm agreeing with you.
But your agreement is really just placating me.
If you say so, Izzy.
I huff out a breath of air and decide to drop it.
But you don't make sense, and you know that. Your background is, well, spotty.
Yep, it is.
but there's no way he could find out about my past. Like, literally, no way. That girl doesn't exist anymore. So I don't agree or disagree with his initial assessment.
Which means it's either completely made up or you've somehow erased parts of it. So which is it?
I ignore him.
I'm gonna figure it out.
Why? I say, turning my body to face him. I'm angry now.
Why do you need to figure it out? Why can't you just drop the whole fucking thing? Because you're somehow involved in a terror threat.
Says you, I spit. That's probably bullshit. You guys probably made that up to make me vulnerable, to make me cooperate, and it's not gonna work.
We didn't make it up,
he laughs.
This is the fucking FBI, Izzy. We've got better things to do than play sex games with you.
Could you just shut up?
Fine,
he says, pressing a button on the navigation panel. Music starts to play, something beady and hypnotic and dark, which does nothing for my already dark mood. But he stays silent all the way into downtown, all the way to my house. I open the door as soon as the car stops, just trying to get away from him as quickly as possible, but then he shuts the car off. No, I say, shaking my head, one leg already out the door. No, you're not coming in.
Fine,
he says, shrugging.
But I'm not leaving either.
I get out, slam the door, walk up to my house, keys already in hand, open the door, slam it closed behind me, and flick on the light. And then I do most of that backwards. I open the door back up, slam it behind me, skip down the porch stairs, run down the walkway, and open the car door back up.
Forget something?
He asks while texting on his phone. Someone was in my house. He stops texting.
What?
It's ransacked, Finn. I grab my hair with frustration. Someone went through my house. His door is open. He's out of the car. He's got a gun out as he stalks up my front walk. And then he looks at me, nods his head, and I open the door for him. He goes in like, well, an FBI guy, pointing his gun this way and that way as he steps over the mountains of debris, searching for people in the house. When he goes upstairs, I look around nervously. Someone was in my house. Strangers did this to me. I suddenly feel very violated.
No one,
Finn says, coming down the stairs, holstering his gun.
Whoever it was did this hours ago, probably right after we left.
How do you know that? I ask, still expecting people to jump out at me.
It's my job,
he says simply, which doesn't appease me. He's poking at his phone, puts it to his ear. He says,
Declan, call me back. Something is wrong.
What's that mean? Who's Declan?
Let's go,
he says, pointing at the door.
I'm taking you to my house until I can figure this shit out.
Wait, I say, putting my hands up.
Yes, Ms. Gray,
he says, not even looking at me because his eyes are still taking in the scene. You want me to go to your house with you?
Yeah, to keep you safe.
And that's it? He just stares at me, dumbly. Not to fuck me again? Not to play one more round before this night is over? Now it's his turn to laugh.
Izzy,
he says, pulling out his professional voice.
This isn't a game. I'm not your hired help for the night. I fucked you earlier because I think you're sexy, that's it. But if pretending to play this stupid game makes you go along with my duty to keep you safe, I'll keep playing along.
We stare at each other.
Yes, Izzy. This is all part of my secret plan to spread your legs open and lick your pussy. Better?
I turn away so he can't see me smile, then gather up my self-respect, turn back, and say with a straight face, Fine. It's not a game. I'm just a job to you. He tips a pretend hat at me, then waves a hand at the door.
After you.
It only takes a few minutes to get to his place over in lower downtown, but the seconds drag on like years in the silence. He says nothing, just compulsively checks his phone, like maybe he thinks his ringer isn't working, and that's why this Declan guy hasn't called him back yet. Then he sends another text, trying to get an answer. "What did you just text?" I ask.
"Business," he says back.
"Whatever." He lives in a trendy new condo building right next to a bar called Bronco Brews. That's the place with the fake water tower on the roof, like this is New York or something.
"Okay,"
he says, flicking the light on after he opens his apartment door.
"Come in and let's just try to grab a couple hours of sleep before dawn."
It's already after 4 a.m., and I'm not sure I could sleep, even if I had the time. My seminar is at noon, but I need to get my shit together before I walk in and try to change the mindset of 300 women. I can't go up there and talk to them all freaked out about shit like this. "Hey," I say, walking into his living room and dropping my bag on the floor.
"What's up?"
he asks, taking his holster off and locking his gun in a safe hidden in the wall. "Just answer me this, okay?"
"Sure. What is it, Izzy?"
Now he's walking into his bedroom, taking off his suit coat as he disappears. "If that raid last night was real..." He pops into the doorway again, and my eyes immediately track to his fingers, which are unbuttoning his button-down shirt.
"If,"
he says,
"if it was real."
"Fine," I huff. "It was real. Wouldn't they have, like, crime scene tape and shit all over my place? Am I even allowed to go back in there?"
"It's not a murder scene."
He disappears into his bedroom again. I wonder what he's taking off next, but then I hear the jingle of his belt, and no. "Right, but don't they have to send in a forensics team or something?" He appears in the open doorway again, this time bare-chested and wearing cut-off sweatshorts. I stare a second too long, and when my eyes meet his, he's smiling.
"Someone's been watching too many police procedurals on TV."
And then he winks.
"Just change out of those clothes and try to get some sleep, okay? I'm fucking tired. I gotta be up in like 2 hours, and I need to just forget about this day."
I look down at my bag, thinking about what I have inside it.
"Now what?"
he asks, leaving the bedroom and walking towards me. He goes into the kitchen, grabs a glass from the cupboard, and fills it with water from the fridge door. "I'm just gonna sleep in my clothes," I say, trying to look at anything but his naked torso. He's very fit. Like, very fit. I'm talking six-pack. I'm talking that V-line of muscle that disappears under the waistline of his sweatshorts. I'm talking...
"Why?"
"I didn't bring anything appropriate." His eyes dart to my pack, then meet mine again. He smiles. We both go for the bag at the same time. I'm closer, so I get to it first, but his arms are long and he snatches it away. I jump, trying to get it back, but he holds it over his head. Have I mentioned he's a foot taller than me? "Give it back," I say.
"What did you pack?"
"None of your business. Now give it back." He turns his back to me and starts unzipping the bag while I desperately try to reach around his broad shoulders to no avail.
"What is..."
"Give it back," I say, pulling on the strap, and this time I succeed. Or he lets it go, or whatever. It doesn't matter, because he's holding up what I did pack.
"Damn, woman. You were gonna wear this for me tonight?"
I close my eyes, rub my fingertips into my temples, and say, "This isn't happening."
"Are you into..."
"Shut up and give it back."
"Izzy,"
he laughs.
"You're a kinky little bitch, you know that?"
I snatch the nightie. It really doesn't qualify as a nightie. People don't wear open-tit lingerie to bed. People wear open-tit lingerie to sex clubs, which is where I thought I was going tonight.
You gonna put it on?
Finn asks. I open my eyes, snatch the costume out of his hands, throw it over my shoulder, and say, "Not in your dreams, Playboy." But he's already reaching into the bag again.
Jesus,
he says, his voice low, almost a whisper, like he's found buried treasure.
Holy shit, you're really into this, aren't you?
He's looking at my boots now, black, thigh-high, grommets and laces all the way up the back, made of latex. He drops them to the floor.
What's this?
I take a deep, deep breath.
Okay,
he says, waving the riding crop in the air.
Hold on, sister. We gotta get this out of the way before we go any further.
My blood pressure is rising so rapidly my head begins to pound.
Do you like to dish it out?
He whips the crop back and forth in the air so it makes that whoosh sound.
Or do you like to be the one being dished on?
I grab the crop, pull it out of his hand, and hide it behind my back. Are you done?
I don't think so.
He laughs as he reaches back into the bag and removes nipple clamps.
My God,
he says, looking at them in the palm of his hand, then at my tits, then at them again. Okay, all very funny, I say, trying to be nonchalant. We're done here. I'm gonna sleep on the couch in my clothes. You're going to your room. Good night.
Oh,
he grins.
Oh, no, no, no. I mean, come on, Izzy.
Come on what? He walks towards me. I back away. But his long arms, damn, his long arms, reach around behind my back and take the crop. I give up and don't fight him. Fuck it, right? Just let him have his fun. He'll tire himself out like a child and then he'll let it go. But he whacks me on the ass so hard with the crop, I jump. What the fuck?
Did it make you wet?
You're insane.
I'm insane? Woman, you're the one who went out on a date with me tonight and packed kink.
It wasn't a date. It was a game.
Oh, excuse me,
he says, closing his eyes and placing a mea culpa hand over his heart.
You're the one who let me take you out with the intention of putting all this on.
He opens his eyes. We stare at each other.
So,
he says, reaching for my wrists and pulling me towards him. His chest is hot and bare and muscular. He smells faintly of aftershave and sweat and the city. He smells like sex, I realize, because I already let him fuck me. We've already done this.
This is your fantasy, huh?
I look up at him. I have to crane my neck back to see his face because he's so tall. So what?
Then let's do it.
You mean let's play the game you were sent to play? He shrugs.
Yeah, if that's what you need to go forward. Let's play the game, Izzy.
Is it a game or isn't it? I can't tell anymore. He takes off my coat, just like he did earlier. Takes off my jacket, just like he did earlier. Then unbuttons my blouse, opens it up, except he doesn't pull off all the buttons this time. His hand grabs my breasts through my bra, squeezing. And it's all very familiar. Should be, because we've already been here and back. The crop smacks my ass again, only this time I don't jump. I moan.
I'm winning at the moment,
he whispers into my neck, biting my ear.
But if you put all this on, you'll steal the game right out from under me. Because I'll forfeit and you'll win the prize.
Chapter 14. Fen. So we are playing a game? She asks. Come on, I say, still leaning into her neck. Just forget about that stupid game. We've got some chemistry here, right? I mean, you did let me fuck you earlier. She huffs some air, but I cut her off. You liked it. You came. Couple times. And even though you're putting up this fight and holding out hope that this is a game so you don't have to take responsibility for that, it's not, Izzy. It's just two strangers who click. That's all. And when that happens, you don't just throw it away. You let it lead you. You give it a chance. You make a decision to go down a new road because clicking with people is a special thing that doesn't happen every day. You didn't answer the question. Jesus. No, I say. At least not that game. I have nothing to do with this Jordan Wells shit at all. I bumped into you the same way you bumped into me. And yeah, I misled you a little to get you to stay with me tonight. And yeah, that was part of my job. But no one told me to fuck you, Izzy. Or like you. That was just me. She thinks about this for a second. I still have a lot of questions. Like what? I ask. Ask me. I'll tell you anything you want to know. Why did the FBI show up at my office? I don't really know for sure, but I'm assuming you're just caught in someone's web. Bad luck, she answers. I shrug. Bad luck. I don't buy it. Me either, I laugh. But no one's after you now, and we can't get any answers until morning, so why dwell on it? I squeeze her breasts again so she won't forget we have other options. Better ways to pass the time than focusing on what's probably nothing more than some bizarre random circumstance. I lean back a little so I can see her face. Her eyes are darting back and forth like she's thinking pretty hard about something. She sighs, meets my gaze, and says, You just want to see me in the costume. True, I smile. And you want to put it on. Just admit it. She tries not to smile, but fails, so she turns her head to hide it. So let me put it on you. What? You heard me, I say, reaching around her back to unclasp her bra. I drag it and her open blouse down her arms and let them both fall to the floor. She takes yet another deep breath, like she wants to give in to an urge to fold her arms across her chest and cover herself. But she doesn't give in. She looks up at me and holds her position, arms down at her side. I unbutton her pants, slide my hands under the fabric of her slacks, and let my fingers slip between her legs. You're excited, I say, leaning down once again, this time to smell her. Her scent is not perfume, but something else. Something softer, sweeter. Shampoo or hand lotion, or hell, maybe she's just sweet on the inside and it leaks through her pores to balance out the tough girl exterior.
Mm.
She moans. So what do you say? You up for a wardrobe change? Her back stiffens at the question, but my fingers are ready. I push one inside her, and it glides easily through her wetness. Say yes, I whisper. Just say yes, Izzy. Accept the challenge, and we'll turn this whole night around. Make it something new. Something special.
Special, she chuckles. I don't even know you. I know nothing about you at all.
Well, how about this? I say back, one hand sliding her pants over her hips until they fall down her legs, the other still inside her pussy, busy taking away the last of her inhibitions. I'll dress you up, and for as long as it takes me to do that, you can ask me questions. I'll answer every single one with the truth. You bear yourself to me, I'll lay myself open to you. Deal? She bites her lip, but nods her head at the same time. You're just gonna lie, so why bother? I hold my hand up, palm towards her like I'm taking an oath, and say, Promise. The truth, and nothing but the truth. She hesitates, and when she says nothing at all, I take that as a yes. Excellent, I say, walking around her to reach for the discarded costume. Excellent. Her eyes track me, her body turning as I pick up her outfit. Damn, this might be the funnest mistake of my life. Okay, she finally says, biting her lip. First question. Why did you lie to me earlier? I hold up the lingerie and shake my head a little. This, all of this, that magic bag she's carrying around, is definitely a sex fantasy come to life. Wait, I say, looking down at her. What? You said you'd answer anything. Don't back out on me now, Agent Murphy. No, I mean, wait a second. You're accusing me of playing a game with you, but what? She's still resisting the urge to cover herself, but she doesn't bring her arms up. She steps out of her pants and kicks them aside instead. But what if you're playing a game with me? I ask. What? What's that even mean? What if someone bought me a game with Jordan Wells, and you're the player, and I'm the unsuspecting victim? Oh, for fuck's sake. Nice try. I'm not even gonna answer that. Why? I ask, walking over to her again, unable to resist the feeling of the soft, silky fabric of her costume between my fingers. Because it's ridiculous. I'm the one who has no clue what's happening. I'm the one who met with Jordan. I'm the one who got turned down. You said you didn't even know him. And that's enough questions from you, unless you'd like me to play dress-up with you while you ask me questions. She grabs the lingerie from my hand and holds it up. Choose. My laugh bellows all the way up to the ceiling. I don't think so. I snatch the costume back, bend down, and reach for her ankle. She gasps, pulling away. Cooperate, Izzy. It's better that way. I'm ticklish, she says, once again pulling her foot away from my reaching hand. I'll handle the foot department. No way, I say, serious. I'm definitely handling the boots. She stifles a grin, bites her lip, and shakes her head all in the same moment. You have a foot fetish? No. I don't think so. I just like the thought of slipping your feet into those sexy as fuck boots. And, I say, taking hold of her ankle. She hisses in a breath through her teeth like this is painful. I'll take these ones off as well. I slip her shoe off before she can think too hard about it. Clearly, her feet need the attention if it makes her that uncomfortable. When I look up at her, I'm grinning. So big. She counters with, Why were you demoted? When you left the FBI in D.C.? Shit. Why'd I have to go admit that to her? It's a long story. Those boots will take a long time to put on. We've got time. Now talk. I eye the boots and decide she's right. There's no zipper, it's just laces and grommets for as far as the eye can see. Which absolutely delights me, so fuck it. Okay, I say, cupping her foot. It's tiny, just like her, and soft. She grits her teeth, holds onto my shoulder for balance, and mumbles something like, Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I'm Irish.
Yes,
she hisses, like she's trying to distract herself.
Your name doesn't hide that fact.
Right. It's like a goddamn stigma. But what can you do?
You could change it, I guess.
She's calmer now, because I've let go of her foot and she's not balancing on one leg. But she winces and grabs my shoulders again when I reach for the other one and slip that shoe off, too. I could, I guess, but doesn't change who I am.
Who are you?
Finnegan Murphy.
Finnegan?
She laughs.
It's silly and sexy at the same time.
So I've been told before. Back east, the Irish have a certain reputation.
Oh,
she says. Is that an, oh, that's interesting kind of oh, or an, oh, that's too bad kind of oh?
Bad, dummy.
I swipe a finger up the underside of her foot until she tries to hop backwards. I have her by the ankle with the other hand, so she gets maybe 2 inches of space.
Stop it,
she squeals. Then be fair. You want to know things about me, I'm telling you them. But you can't judge me until I'm done. That wasn't part of the deal. Well, it is now. Because that's playing fair, and we're playing fair.
Then don't tickle me.
Deal. I smile up at her, but she's scowling.
Go on.
Okay. So I'm from a big extended Irish family, and my father was FBI, and his father was FBI, and his father before that was FBI too.
Got it. You've got no ambition of your own.
Fuck you. But I follow that up immediately with, I'm sorry. Forget I said that. It's not fair.
Jesus.
Fucking men, you're all the same. I'm gonna do you a favor now and forget you said that. Because it's not fair either. You don't know me. I don't know you. And hopefully, once we tell our stories, we'll see eye to eye. Maybe you'll change your mind about me.
I'm not telling you my story.
You're telling yours because we made a deal. So one more time, Agent Murphy, why did you get demoted? This time it comes out with a little more venom. But she's also eyeing the boot I'm holding with apprehension. I place my hand on the back of her upper thigh and say, relax. It's not torture. It's fun. She forces a smile, but shakes her head. I start unlacing the back of the boot. I swear there's like 47 eyelets to deal with, but I'm not complaining. That's 47 chances to drive her wild as I lace them back up.
Okay, back to the fucking question.
The demotion in D.C., what was that about? You disappoint your dad or something? You're a goddamned mind reader, Miss Gray.
So you did?
I nod.
What did you do?
I did a whole lot of nothing for a very long time. And then one day, I had enough, you know? I look up at her as I lace her boot.
He was a good witch or a bad witch?
I think about this and want to say good, because there's good in everybody, and it's easy to see the good over the bad when it comes to family. But I can't lie. I promised her the truth. So I don't bother trying and answer with, bad witch.
Oh.
He's dead now, so whatever. She pouts her lips a little.
Well, sorry about that. That he's dead? It's hard to lose people.
Thanks, I say, and appreciate it.
Were you close at least? Even if you disappointed him?
Yeah, I guess you could say we're close. Then I wince, because I said that like he's still alive. It's so hard for me to believe he's dead, and... I mean, I went into the FBI because he wanted me to, and I thought it'd make him proud of me.
Is he?
Then she winces, and not because I've got the laces all undone and I'm reaching for her foot to slip it inside the boot, either. It's because she's talking about him in the present tense, too. Was he? Before he died? It depends when you ask him, I guess. Okay, she says, thinking about that for a moment. Go on. We seem to be taking a while to get to the point here, so... Yeah, I say. Right, D.C. So I went into the FBI Academy in Virginia, graduated pretty high up in my class. Not top, but near the top. And I guess that's expected because of who I was and all. Come on, you're taking way too long to answer one stupid question. That's because I don't really want to tell her the next part. I deflect and wrap both hands around her calf, sliding them up to her thighs. I'm watching her face as I do this. She closes her eyes and sighs, which makes me smile. So on graduation day, I'm standing there, all dressed up, feeling pretty fucking good about myself, and my dad comes over with a little box. A gift, you know. Was it a watch or something? My hands stop what they're doing as I gaze off into space, thinking back on that moment. No, it wasn't a watch. It was a phone. Huh? She says. Like a cool new iPhone? Kind of a weird gift, but okay. No, it wasn't a cool new iPhone. It was a cheap-ass thing you buy in the checkout lane at Walmart. Now she's squinting her eyes, trying to fit the pieces together. I'm just about to give the big reveal when she says, Oh, shit. What? I ask. It was a burner phone, wasn't it? How the fuck did you guess that? Was it? Was it a burner? I nod. Fucking A. He was dirty, wasn't he? How the fuck did you jump to that conclusion? I ask. Sorry. Okay. Well, good. She draws in a deep breath and lets it out. No, I say. He was the bad witch, remember? He was dirty as fuck, is he? And that phone was... It was his way of saying, Welcome to the family, Finn. Now you're a bad witch, too. Shit. You had no idea? I shake my head. Not a fucking clue. What did you do? I took it. I look up at her as I say this, my eyes looking right into hers. I answered it when it rang. I got a new one sent to me every few weeks or so. And I answered those two. So you fell in line? Yeah. That's exactly what I did. So what happened that got you sent to Denver? I start lacing up her boot, winding the laces back and forth across the back of her calf, all the way up to that little dent behind her knee. And each time I poke the lace head into the eye, she makes the cutest little whimper sound, like I'm driving her crazy. So mostly I'm just doing my job. Sometimes it would be a month in between calls. But when it rang, that fucker rang, you know? What did they make you do? Whatever. Kill people? Yeah, some. But they were all thugs, right? Enemies, different gangs, different cities. Gangs? Remember when I told you I was Irish? Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck is right. I inhale, exhale loudly. I finish lacing the boot, tie it off at the back side of her knee, and reach for the other one. You still haven't answered my question. Why did I get sent here? Why? Because one day, the whole fucking thing flashes through my head in this one moment. Everything that went down that night. One day I looked him in the eye and said, No, I'm not gonna do it. I'm done. Izzy is quiet now, so I just go on. And he pulled out a gun and put it to my head. And he said, The only way you're done is if you're dead, Finnegan.
Jesus.
And, well, I consider lying again, but what's the point? I shot him first. Because even though I really didn't want to believe he'd shoot me, I knew he was gonna do it. Izzy's mouth is hanging open, her eyes wide. Because he had this look of surprise on his face when he realized I had my gun out. And then he laughed. And I could almost feel the muscles in his arm, like he was about to pull that fucking trigger. And I just happened to pull mine first. You're here because you killed your FBI dad? I shrug. You know, Izzy, I'm not really sure why I'm here. I continue lacing her boot and feeling proud of how it all looks. I'm practically an expert. This one goes much quicker, not that I'm trying to be quick. It actually feels good getting some of this shit I've been carrying around for the past few months off my back. I'm just taking it one day at a time. I'm not doing a very good job at that, but I'm trying. Do you regret it? No, I say. But that's all I have for that. And I'm tying the bow at the back of her knee anyway, so her time is up. I sit back on my heels, admiring my work. She twists around to try to get a glimpse. You're goddamn sexy, you know that? She shrugs when I look up at her. It's the boots. But I shake my head as I stand back up. No, it's not the boots. It's just you. And then I place my hands on her cheeks, lean in, and kiss her. Like really kiss her. When I pull back, her eyes are open, watching me. So, I say. So, she says. Am I a good witch? Or a bad witch?
Chapter 15. Izzy. I'm not sure yet, I say, answering his question. You definitely come off as a good witch. On the outside, I mean. I can't explain it, but bad guys don't admit shit like that to people they hardly know.
But you're not sure about what's on the inside.
I stare at him. This man I didn't know yesterday morning. This man I met under the strangest of circumstances. This man who has proclaimed himself my protector. This man killed his own father. If my silence makes him nervous, he doesn't show it. He bends down, picks up the costume, and says,
Take all the time you need to come to a conclusion. But while you're doing that, may I?
He shakes the lingerie in his hand, shoots me a wicked grin that has bad witch written all over it, and then he winks. His wink is a thing, I decide, to put people at ease. To make them forget bad witches even exist, and there's nothing to see here but goodness. And it works. For me, at least. Because I feel pretty okay about his confession. Why is the question. Why do I feel okay about it? Is this a game with Jordan? Or is this all real? Would a guy admit to being a dirty FBI agent and killing his dirty FBI agent father and being demoted and sent to... Hey, I say. So what happened after? I mean, you didn't really answer my question. How the fuck did you get to Denver?
Well, the FBI is a gang, too. We cover for each other. And I'm pretty sure my father wasn't the only dirty guy in the DC Bureau.
So they covered for you? He nods.
Gave me some paid leave, then swept the whole thing under the rug and sent me out here.
Like a new start?
Brand new city, brand new partner, brand new start.
Do I believe him? I guess I don't have much choice. I either believe him and stay here, or take my chances and leave.
So, should I go on?
He asks. And he's not talking about his story. The story is over. He's asking about the costume. I should get the fuck out of here. I should put my clothes back on, walk out that door, and never look back. Just leave. But I nod yes anyway. I give him permission to dress me up and keep the game going. Because this is a game. None of this can be coincidence. But if I'm gonna buy in, I need to go all in. He chuckles under his breath as he holds the negligee up to study how it works and mumbles,
Okay, don't make a fool of yourself, Murphy.
In his defense, it does look a little weird since, you know, there's no cups. It's just round open holes where tits go. Need help? I say, trying to forget everything he just told me.
Nope. Figuring this out is like the highlight of my life so far.
You must have a very boring life. He stops his lingerie analysis to look at me.
Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with boring, babe. Not a damn thing wrong with boring.
So you don't miss DC? He places the nightie over my head, pulls it down, totally messing up my hair, and then picks up one arm and fits it into the straps. I almost die. This is fucking hilarious.
No,
he says, taking his attention to the other arm now.
It doesn't matter where you are. People are the same.
So they're corrupt here, too? That's what you're saying? He pulls the nightie down, but it gets caught on my breasts, so he reaches underneath it, lifts my tits, fits them into the little cut-out holes until they spill out, and then straightens out the front so the lace ruffle on the edge is neat. I absolutely die this time, and there's no way in hell I don't laugh.
What?
He says.
Did I do it wrong?
I shake my head, still smiling. No, it's right.
Then why are you laughing at me?
It's pretty adorable, actually.
That I dressed you up as a kinky slut?
He waggles his eyebrows at me, just to make it clear he's joking. That you took it so seriously. I mean, your boot lacing is top-notch. Not too loose, not too tight, which is pretty hard to accomplish when you're dealing with 47 eyes. He sucks in a huge breath of air, leans back on his heels, and raises his chin, proud as punch.
Thank you. And the answer to your last question, and I do mean that literally since we're gonna be too busy to talk in like, 10 seconds, is yes, Denver is as corrupt as hell. Everyone knows it. Nobody cares to fix it. And I'm no better or worse than the rest of them. I guess. So I choose indifferent, which. Because after wrestling with this shit for almost a decade, I've decided if you choose a side and stand for something, those people will disappoint you eventually, and you'll have to renounce them and choose another. So why bother?
I say.
You don't agree.
No, that's the funny part. I absolutely agree. I've been an indifferent witch for a pretty long time now.
But your job?
I shrug. My job is to give people hope, to help them realize their mistakes, make the right changes, and then move on. So that's what I do.
It's all bullshit?
He asks, raising an eyebrow, and just a smidge, just a teeny tiny dash of disappointment leaks out of him. No, it's not bullshit. I believe in self-defense, so I show them how to take a man down who's twice their size. And I believe in self-preservation, so I tell them to think of themselves first, because you can't take care of anyone else unless you're taking care of you. And I tell them they're worthy of that because the world has taught them they're not. But I don't teach them anything more.